Hey guys, we're back. Another episode of Smart Brand Marketing. Today with me, I have Rob Balasabas. He is an expert in social media and community building. So it's going to be interesting because I've been getting a lot of questions from clients and listeners about building communities, managing them, making sure they're not a time suck, making sure they're not there's not too much self-promotion on them. And, you know, I think Rob will be a much better person to answer these. What's up, Rob?
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
It's going well. And you know, this is like so on topic because I just had a meeting yesterday and you know, there's a guy, he's trying to build a course and he's, you know, and I'm like, well, you should build a community around it. And I told him, you know, a couple of reasons for that. And the first thing is like, yeah, but I don't want to spend my whole day in the Facebook group, you know, and that's a very valid response. This is one of the reasons I don't really build communities. So give me your thoughts on that, because you've been running the Thinkific community for quite a bit, right? And there's a lot of people in there. How do you manage that?
Yeah, it's, you know what, honestly, Tom, it's, you know, depending on the community, you know, depending on the size, we were talking about this just before we went live here, but it depends on the size of the community. You know, like right now, where the community that Thinkific has on inside the private Facebook group is at a size where it really is sort of, it sustains itself. So what that means is that, you know, people are, the members are posting and starting conversations. So they're posting threads. And then the other members are answering those questions or giving feedback and replying. And so there is a lot of engagement going on without, that's happening organically. So where we sit now as, you know, as a community manager is just to make sure that, you know, we moderate all of that activity, you know, more on the side of making sure that there's no self-promotion, making sure that there is space for people to share their websites, share their online courses, you know, share their lead magnets. You know, there's got to be a space for that. I think I'm a part of a lot of different, you know, online communities, and it's really difficult to suppress, you know, people to from, you know, promoting themselves. So rather than suppress it, we, for example, we have a Flaunted Friday, right? So that's where every Friday there's going to be a post where they can show off their, you know, their latest course or a webinar that they're having, anything really that is around promotion or promoting themselves. So yeah, it's a daily task. You know, we do have to, you know, make sure because we do have a global user base that we are, you know, on top of it, you know, 7 days a week. But yeah, it's been a fun ride seeing it grow.
How many clients do you think you're getting percentage-wise monthly from a group like that? Because I think, you know, with communities, it's kind of tricky, right? So with online courses especially, a lot of people want a community of leads, right? So the people mm-hmm. that are sort of interested, you know, at different levels, and then a community behind the course, you know, that they're actually engaging with and supporting. So with the lead one, I think that's the main interest, right? Like how many of these people can I get to buy from me?
Yeah, so on a daily basis, we probably get, I would say, a few hundred people kind of, you know, going from, you know, social over to our, you know, our Triple W site, our different offerings. And so, you know, exact numbers is really tough. But as far as like in general, that's kind of like sort of how many people visit from social, from our group into those different pages, into our different actual websites that we own, so our own assets.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things we do track. We do track, you know, how much traffic we are getting from our different social channels. Now, our community, we look at it a little bit differently, where it is not really a lead gen source. So I know that might sound a little bit weird, but we're building a community not to drive them to lead gen, but really the objective of the Facebook group is literally just community. So community where they can ask questions, you know, they can explore, you know, what is Thinkific? How do you, you know, who are these people that build online courses? So a lot of people will, I would say probably a majority of people tend to not post, right? There's a lot of people that are not posting, but they are still engaged. So being engaged doesn't mean that you have to be posting, you have to be commenting on everything. Being engaged means that you're reading the post, you're getting value from it. You're learning, as people share their landing pages, they share their questions, they share some of the wins, like, hey, I just did this launch and I got this many registrations for my course. These people that are sort of sitting on the sideline are seeing this and they're still getting value out of it. And so eventually they will then, go to our website and they'll sign up and they'll create courses and, they'll create accounts. But for us, we are trying to build a community where it's not really promotional. Every now and then we will say like, hey, we're doing this training. It's free. You know, it's a webinar, it's a workshop, whatever it may be. But for the most part, the objective of the Facebook group is literally community, where they can feel like, hey, these are like-minded people that I can engage with, I can ask questions. That's really what it's for. A lot of online entrepreneurs or people that are building products online, digital products, it's a very lonely. So it tends to be a very lonely life where, you're working from home or you're working from a coffee shop, but even then you're around people, but you have headsets on, so you're physically there, but you're not really, building relationships in a community per se. So this is a place where they can do that. They're like, oh, hey, people understand me. They know what, they know what completion rates are. They know, sales funnels and all these like terms. So it's a really cool place.
Yeah, it's like why I tell you, people should come to Chiang Mai during the best months where everyone's here, because it's exactly that. Like, we have the community of people doing that thing, and you do make friends and you do hang out with them, and everyone's working online. So, it works. But it does seem like the community you guys have built is more of a branding and a social proof thing, for a company. Because, it definitely does the engagement, it makes a place for people to be there, but it's still branding, right? Anytime they get value, they do see Thinkific on top. And just by seeing so many people, that's social proof, man. Like, if someone comes in and be like, well, if 20,000 people are liking this, it must be good. It does kind of work in that way too, even if you're not using it for lead gen per se.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, exactly. So as long as, as long as they're getting their answers, their questions answered, and, it happens to be in this Facebook group that Thinkific fosters, and, they're not even trying to sell me anything. It really leaves like it gives a good impression of sort of what to expect from the company. Our entire team will, typically be on there as well. So again, this is not sort of a solo effort on my part. This is part of the culture that Thinkific has kind of, built into its team here. You'll see our product manager hop in and say, hey, because people are maybe asking for feature requests. So you'll see Mike or Dustin, our product managers, in there and answering questions and saying, hey, some really good feedback. We'd love to hop on a call with you. And so they'll take it off of that Facebook group and actually hop on a call. And we've seen people actually meet up in person. And actually, this is something we've tried to build now is an ambassador program where different users are coming together and they're meeting up. Tom, you did this with Ratha out in Chiang Mai. And really cool to see, right? Like, if you guys, have seen some of the pictures, we saw the pictures here and we were super envious. It looks like you guys had a ton of fun over there. But yeah, Ratha, for example, went to Bangkok, went to Chiang Mai and hung out with you and Serena and, did a meetup with different course creators. And we have different course creators meeting up in Australia and New York and London. So, we're kind of extending this whole community thing outside of just the Facebook group and into real life, which is kind of cool to watch.
We still haven't got those pictures.
Oh, really? Oh, I got to send you.
I know Serena reached out, but we didn't get them. On the flip side, though, of a community, and this is what a lot of my clients are afraid of, and I've seen you guys deal with it, and I've seen other communities deal with it, is, the trolling, complaints, and people being people online, right? And usually it happens like a storm, right? Like when you guys went down for a couple of days, and I've seen this happen to a few different platforms, that's when the community wakes up all of a sudden, and starts being like, oh, what's going on? how do you recommend for people to deal with that? Because I think you guys deal with it really well, but it still can't be, you know, pretty, right? Like when you're, you know, getting like tons of messages about like, what's going on? I can't log in, you know, and it's all public.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Tom. You know what? It's something that we are always learning to do better. And so I think the best thing to be as a brand, or a, if you are a solopreneur and something goes wrong, especially like we go through this every now and then because we may have some sort of downtime that we can't control because it's, you know, a server that is managed that we are paying for. It's a service and so on. So there's certain things that just can happen out of your control. And so the best thing that we've learned is just to be super transparent, right? Just own it, right? Own it and say, hey, you know, this happened. You know, our team is on it. Like literally our team, I think there was one, I think that happened about a month ago, and it was like, we were down for a little while and it happened in the middle of the night. And our team was on it. I woke up around maybe 7 a.m. and, you know, there's a bunch of messages on Slack. And yeah, our team was already on it. Somebody had already posted in the group, one of our, you know, customer champion reps, and, you know, it's on it already, right? So, you know, but not trying to sugarcoat it. I think that's the worst thing that you can do as a brand online, especially on Facebook or any kind of community online, anywhere on social, is like to kind of sugarcoat it, because everyone, you know, the consumers nowadays, and the consumers are really smart, right? They know how things go and they know how things work. And so to kind of sugarcoat it and spin it just is not the best thing to do, not the wisest thing to do. So just own it, you know, and be realistic. You know, don't set any expectations that you actually don't know if that's going to be true. Like, hey, we're going to be back up in 10 minutes. It's like, who knows that, right? So be sure to set the right expectations, and just to own it and be transparent. So that's what we try to do here. There's really no way around it. The nice thing about our community, though, is like they know that these things don't happen. You know, we've taken steps behind the scenes. Our development team and our product team, we've taken steps to prevent things happening like this. So, you know, when they do happen, our community knows and say like, hey, well, you know, Thinkific went down, like, does this happen all the time? And then, you know, our community will kind of rally around and say, no, you know what, I've been with Thinkific for 2 or 3 years, and this is the first time it's happening, or like, this is the second time ever in the last 3 or 4 years that I've been with Thinkific. So, you know, it's, you build up that trust, and you do build up, you know, that goodwill and trust with your community. And, you know, in those times, you know, they come through for you.
Yeah, but it's still a danger zone. You know,
it is. Oh, yeah.
Like, I'll give you a different example. I think it was a company called LendDV. Mm. And I just bought their AppSumo deal, right? Mm. You know, AppSumo, in case listeners don't know, sends out these deals, lifetime deals for different companies. Like, sometimes you'll have to pay for something like maybe $30 a month, and they'll give it to you for $45 or $49 for a lifetime. So it's these crazy deals that come out once in a while. And this was like an easy landing page builder, right? I think it was out of Poland. And, you know, I bought it. I told my worker to take a look at it. I joined the Facebook page. And within like 3 days, I guess they're down. And I'm seeing like hundreds of people just, you know, going nuts on the page. I'm like, okay, this is interesting. Let's see what happens. 2 weeks later, again. 2 weeks later, again. You know, I got a refund. Mm. I'm out. I'm like, you guys don't have your shit together at all. So for them, the community was actually a very bad thing to build, you know, because they don't have it, I guess, together, you know, but it's always a danger zone because you just don't know. Maybe it was just really bad luck, you know, after they sold too many of these AppSumo deals, maybe. Mm. But it just destroyed their reputation, you know, because it just happened maybe at the wrong times. It's when the influx of people like me came in. And now if anyone's like, what do you think of them? I'm like, just stay away. You know, but because that's the only experience I've had.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And even with Thinkific, although I have not have it seen go down often, you know, maybe once since I've, you know, looked at it, maybe twice, but I think once. The second that happened, I've had people messaging me, you know, like, what do you think? Should we move off? Should I get on it? You know, and I'm like, huh. It was so interesting, right? Because they wouldn't have really known if it wasn't for the community, because they weren't on it. A lot of them were not on it yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is why, you know, I think it's such a weird, you know, like thin line you have to walk.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, the one thing that we, you know, part of the discussion that we always have too is like, hey, you know, if anything does happen, when these things happen for a company, now, if you don't have a community, people are going to speak and they're going to speak up and they're going to be vocal and in other places, regardless, right? So whether it's going to be in your community, if you have one, which is honestly the best case scenario, because it is somewhat contained and it's somewhat within your space, especially if it's a private Facebook group. Now, if you don't, then that, you know, that, that voice, hundreds of people, thousands of people, customers unhappy, could be super spread out. It could be on Twitter, it could be on LinkedIn, it could be on different Facebook groups that you're not part of. It could be in private, you know, personal timelines of people just kind of going off about your brand. So it's a little harder to PR, right? Versus if you have, not to say that like everything happened within a Facebook group for us when those things happen, but the majority of the conversation is happening inside. So we're able to, you know, be as transparent as possible and communicate that to the users and the members. You know, so, you know, there's a really good book out there by, I'm trying to remember, Jay Baer. He has one that's Hug Your Haters, which is actually a really good book about community management. You know, so there's a number of them out there. Dan Genghis has another one as well, Social Customer Care. So if anybody really wants to dig into sort of like the psychology behind why people will start speaking up on social, it's a really good read. So
yeah, I'll put those in the show notes. That's interesting. I haven't heard of either one.
Okay.
What recommendations do you have for people starting these groups, right, that are afraid of having to put in too much time into them in the beginning, you know, because they don't have that community yet?
Yeah. So if they're online course creators, you know, first of all, like a lot of the online courses that I see and probably I'm not sure what you're seeing out there too, Tom, but a lot of the courses that I see have some form of community being built in, especially membership, you know, membership based courses or membership based sites.
Yeah.
Community is part of it, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on Slack, you know, Discord, whatever it is. But a lot of people are purchasing courses because they want to be part of this community of like-minded people. So if you're a course creator, it definitely adds value, you know, because you can, people can come together. They're buying not just your content, but they're also buying this community that you're building. So it's a plus on that side. As far as you as a course creator or an entrepreneur, it is a good, it's a great place to really nurture your existing clients, right? So you can, you know, once they purchase your product or they bought your book or they bought your course, then you can continue to pour into that community, engage with them. You can ask them questions, you know, in different ways. You can almost survey sort of what they want to learn next, right? Okay, so like if you're trying to think of what the next course is that you're going to be building, then you can start sort of like, hey, I'm looking to build my next course to build on top of, you know, this, like, I don't know, you know, baking cookies 101. Like, I want to build my next course now. You know, here are some questions. I'd love for you guys to answer this quick survey for me. And then that way you can then, you know, you can start building that course. People are giving you their feedback and you can start taking action for that next course, right? Facebook, you can do live streams. You know, there's all these other features now where you can engage your existing audience. So yeah, and then if you want to build, I mean, there's two things. There's building your community, right? There's actually getting people to join your community. And then there's the engagement part. So there's two separate things. Like I said, right now we're not really except for a few days, a couple days in the week where we have sort of regular posts that go out, you know, this Flaunted Friday, there's themed days that we have where, you know, they can show off their latest, you know, their latest course or their latest landing page or offering on Fridays. We also do Facebook Lives, right? So that we can highlight different customers, different course creators, different experts. So again, this community for us is something that is not a lead generator, but it's something where we nurture, you know, different course creators and different users using our platform.
And I think that's what scares a lot of course creators, right? Because like with your company, they hired you to manage it, right? And that's the scary part. Like when people are starting out, they're mostly scared about this engagement. How much time do I have to put in? You know, because that's a lot of work, right? Theme days, post, admin, Facebook Lives. Like, you know, you have your hands full, you know, every single day. So I think that's the scary part. You know, how do you mitigate that in the beginning?
Yeah. I don't anymore just because we're not doing them as often. But yeah, you can definitely schedule your posts, right? So your theme days, right? So let's say Monday is some type of, you know, share your biggest hurdle of the week or share your biggest goal for this week, right? On Mondays, right? So people get back to work. What's your biggest goal this week? Okay. You know, you can have like theme days and then you can schedule those. If you're using Facebook, you can schedule those posts and you're done. The next thing though is the engagement, and there is really no workaround to that. It is, you know, it is something where you're going to need to put in, you know, 10, 15 minutes a day at minimum to engage with your audience, right? So, again, you have to also look at the benefit of this. As you grow your group, then you essentially are building, I think someone coined it as like your community is the new email list. I don't know if that's, but a lot of people are saying that where it's like, hey, you're just nurturing your email list. So these people are now, rather than having to email them, you know, once a month, and that's your only touch point, you have them now in a group where you can essentially post a message or post a question, and your list is going to be responding to you in real time, right? You know, you can, when you do Facebook Lives, you can literally, like, almost real time, they can't join you, but they can comment, they can ask questions by text, but they can comment, and they can engage with you in real time, you know? You could never do that with your email list, right? So it's a place where you can learn about your audience, you can nurture your audience every now and then. Of course, you're going to promote something, some type of workshop, some type of promotion, something to them, and that's going to be okay. So, you know, there is some time. It's just like anything worth building. There's going to be some work, and there's no workaround to that. But what you can, you get to a point where you may be able to hire, you know, a VA, and you guys know this over there in Chiang Mai. So you can hire a VA to manage that for you. There's a lot of really good course creators that I know that don't necessarily, you know, manage their own groups anymore once they build it to a certain point. But yeah, and it just grows organically. So yeah, you know, there's some work to be done for sure in the beginning, but as you know, it's something worth building.
How do you deal with trolls and self-promotion? Because that's, it's got to be tricky too.
Yeah. No, well, with us, we just, there's I don't know what the word is. I'm ending my day here, but like, there's no, like, we don't tolerate that at all. So, we may send like a warning if it's like, okay, they're trying to bring value, but they're trying to slide in some type of CTA link in there, you know? But yeah, we have we don't tolerate that at all. We'll just remove the member and that's it. You know, we try to avoid it in the beginning. So with Facebook, you can ask three questions when people join your group.
Right.
And so we have three questions, you know, what are you building your courses on? How did you learn about this group? What would you like to learn about this? You know, what would you like to get out of this group? And so when people don't answer those questions, we will, like, for the most part, we'll auto reject it. We'll send them a message saying, hey, you know, please answer those questions and you can just, you know, request again. You know, and then sometimes you'll see like, hey, this Facebook account was created like 2 days ago, right? No pictures, no profile picture, nothing. So it's like, okay, auto deny. So you know, you do have to, you know, there's some measures that you can take. But if people slip in and then they start promoting, then we just auto delete them. We make it very clear, like, hey, there's, if anyone direct messages you, because that happens in lots of Facebook groups, and not just Facebook, but like other like LinkedIn groups, you know, you may not see it on the front facing, timeline and on the wall, but, you know, sometimes there's people out there direct messaging privately to your members and sort of like promoting themselves or like trying to, you know, sell things. And so those will get reported to us. You know, we have a pretty good, pretty educated, group. And so they'll just report it to one of the admins and, you know, there's usually a screenshot or something. And then, yeah, and then we just message that person and delete them off of the group. So, you can't escape those trolls. You know, they're going to be there.
Yeah, it just seems like extra work. That's why I asked, because, you know, it's definitely seems like extra work. And I didn't even think about that, you know, because I've got a couple of these messages, but they just go into like the other folder, right? Yeah. But I never really thought about looking which group they're from, which is interesting, right? Like where did this guy come from? I should do that next time. Just go through a little bit and just like, where am I getting the most of these spammers from?
Yeah, they happen.
Yeah, but it's super tricky. What's the goal for the community building on your end this year? Because I know you created the little higher end community that you threw me in, and I thought that was great. I like those types. What else are you doing when it comes to communities this year?
You know what, community? So our Facebook group, we're no longer really trying to focus on growing the numbers, right? We're fairly happy as it is and growing at the pace that it is organically, Our focus with the group now is engagement. So we try to look at the engagement on a weekly basis and saying like, okay, of all of our members, how many of them are engaged, right? And so that's kind of what we are trying to do now. And then beyond that, sort of the online group, is we're trying to also do better when it comes to the ambassador meetups, right? The in-person meetups. That's kind of what, that's what we're focused on in 2019. It's just like a lot of the, you know, there's a couple, Facebook units, which are like, basically units are like little modules, you know, you guys would probably know this being, online course experts, is that, yeah, Facebook has these units, they call it, and it's modules. And so we have different modules for different geographic areas. And so if you're like, hey, if you're from London, we have a module, or we have a unit, which is basically like a thread, mm-hmm, that is dedicated to London. So if you're in the London area, then here you can, this is sort of the thread. And if anybody wants to get together and grab coffee or like, you know, sort of come together as a group, do a workshop or something, then it's really easy to engage all of the people highly focused in that area. Yeah, so we're trying to set up better systems to make that happen and to see more of our community actually meet up in person. So, that's kind of the goal this year with the community.
Yeah, I've seen you guys doing that. That was very interesting. You know, and I've seen a lot of more engagement on those posts than some of the other ones.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've always wanted to test it when it came out last year, I believe. I just only got around to doing it this year, and it's been going well. It's been going really well so far. So we're just going to keep doing it. And, you know, if we end up having, you know, a unit for every country in the world, that would be great. I think there's certain pockets. So, yeah, it's just growing the ambassador meetup group, and just trying to find more ways to engage with our community and actually deliver content and maybe training that they're looking for, right? So again, it's always a learning process for us to see what people want to learn. And then also bringing on sort of the third thing, I guess, is bringing on experts, folks like you, to come on and do, Facebook Lives into our community and share tips and strategies that would benefit them with their online course business, whether it's creating courses or marketing courses. So really leveraging the experts that we have in there already, because I think it's, highlighting those different experts is a really key part of having a really strong community so far.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of partnerships. And, you know, like once you guys brought me on, even people who reached out to me to work with me from different areas, they somehow, you know, stumbled upon the Thinkific recording. And they're like, Tom, should we go with Thinkific for this? You know, even though they came from somewhere completely different. And I'm like, that's interesting. And it's only because I was on it. You know, those are very, very strong when you position it that way. You know, when you said engagement, can you share any of those numbers? Like out of 1,000 members, you know, so that people with groups know, like what's the normal percentage that would engage with you? Because you're probably tracking this.
Yeah, so anywhere from, you know, I would say anywhere from 60 to 70% of the membership engaging with you on a monthly basis is a pretty strong group, in my opinion.
That's huge.
Right? Yeah, so it's really strong. So now, how do you define engagement, right? So obviously when someone likes, comments, but also reads, like actually stops scrolling and reads that post, then that is counted as engagement by Facebook. So, So that's how we're tracking it. You know, if you look at it, it's not really the quantity of members, it's just the quality of those members. So we is the content engaging for them? Are they engaging with other members, right? So that's like the key number that we're starting to focus on this year is that engagement.
What do you think people should shoot for? Because 60-70, that's very high in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it all really depends, you know. So if you have a really focused, let's say it's a, it depends on your group, right? So if you're a really broad, you know, hey, this is a YouTube marketing group. Well, it's probably not going to be super engaged, right? But if it is, you know, a really specific group. So let's say, you know, one of the guys that I know here, like one of the course creators, she's a hula hoop. Like she teaches hula hoop, right? So it's a really specific thing. And so her engagement, I would imagine, is a lot higher just because it's like a really specific group. So people are joining that, and there's probably no other groups like that around. There's probably no other Facebook groups like hers. So I would imagine that she is probably pretty popular, or that group is pretty popular. So if you are joining that group, you're looking for something really specific. And if you see a post, then you're also probably going to be engaging with it because there's no other competition for that group. You know, also, I want to note that if you go on Facebook, if you're on your, you know, like on your desktop or on your mobile, you'll notice that a lot of the posts that come up are from the groups that you're part of. And that's just something that Facebook came out and said. It's just like, you know, they're looking for engagement. Right. And so if you are choosing between having a business page or a group, then I would lean on having a group, creating a group, because that's what Facebook is saying, that they're going to give more reach, more visibility to groups. Right. So the activity inside groups. So because there's more engagement, there's members engaging with other members versus a page, which is more of a like a storefront. Right. So you're not going to get members talking to other members inside of on your page, but they will inside your group. So, just wanted to note that down.
Yeah, that's important. And to build on that, too, because I get this question a lot is, you know, why should I set up a group since I can't advertise in it? So this is what we do. You set up a page and a group. You create the advertisement post on the page. You share it in the group and you boost it. And everyone in the group gets it. So that's the workaround when you can't actually do boosted posts and advertisements within the group.
Yeah, that's right.
And another question before we go, and this one gets asked a lot, where should the group be? Like my the cuff answer is always just Facebook. That's where most people are. But there are other options. So can you just kind of give me your feedback on that?
Yeah. So there are other options. There's Slack. There are, I think there's still LinkedIn groups. I don't know anyone that hosts them or manages them. there's, honestly, I've seen groups built on WhatsApp. right? Voxer. There's all these other, there's Discourse, which is more basically like a forum on your website. So it's like an actual add-on. There's like, there's some good friends that run Vanilla Forums, which is a popular one. There's all of these different ones. Mighty Networks I've seen around. It's like another sort of like SaaS-based kind of community platform. So there's Facebook, and then there's Facebook, which is kind of the king, right? When it comes to it, is that it's the easiest, it's free. The nice thing about Facebook is that it is really easy for people to find you and engage with you. People, I mean, I don't know what the percentage is now, Tom. Maybe you have the number, but like how many people globally is checking into Facebook on a daily basis? Like people are checking it when they wake up and right before they go to bed. It's like the first and the last thing they do. So, you know, as far as, you know, people using and like actually engaging there, it's like the best place. Now, the drawback though is that it is the most popular, so there is a lot of distraction, right? So people are like, hey, there's a Thinkific group, but there's also like this really fun group that I like to go into, and they talk about, you know, music that I like or whatever. So I'm gonna get distracted. So that's why a lot of people will build on, for example, Slack, right? I've seen a lot of like groups on Slack. And other platforms, because it is less noisy and it's more focused. Now, again, then the drawback to that is like a lot of people aren't Slack users, or a lot of people don't want to go to this website, to, you know, this forum site, because it's just another place to go. They're already on Facebook, you know, 8 times a day. So it really depends on sort of what you're looking to build. Also very important to look at the type, like your community and your audience. What are they, where do they hang out? You know, like it could, maybe it's not Facebook, maybe it is Slack, because, you know, that's just what they do. Like for me, if I'm on a number of Slack groups just because we use Slack at work, right? So I use Slack anyway on a daily basis. So it's okay to have different channels where, you know, different Slack groups that I'm part of. So that's okay with me. It really depends. I think the best thing you want to do is if you are starting to build, like if you have a course or if you have an Instagram account where you're getting a lot of followers, where maybe a lot of your audience hangs out and engages with you, then ask them like, hey guys, I'm looking to build a community for all of us. Where do you want me to go? Like, would you want me to build a Facebook group, Slack, you know, WhatsApp, whatever? Let me know and I will do it, right? So just ask them, right? Rather than guess, just ask them. And that kind of applies to anything, you know, that we always try to build. It's just like, hey, if you're building a course, ask your audience what topics they want to learn about. And so just ask your audience.
That's true. On that note, Rob, where can people find you?
So you can find me really easy. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram. My Instagram is Rob's other account. LinkedIn is just my other name, Rob Balasavis. And just find me there.
Sounds good. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Tom.
Before you go, let me know if you enjoyed this interview. Leave a review, subscribe, join the Smart Brand Marketing Facebook page, whatever is easiest. Also, if you need my help marketing your online course, or know that your business could use some SEO, come to smartbrandmarketing.com, check out the case studies, and reach out to me. Once again, smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.